You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Saturday's edition of the podcast where it's William Hill Air Gold Cup Day. We're looking forward to the feature meeting from the Scottish venue on Saturday afternoon. But before that, we've got Newbury as well there, kick off at 1:10 for a card littered with group action. Those two are supported by Newmarket and Catterick in the afternoon. We're on the all-weather in the evening at Wolverhampton. There's also an Irish card from Listowel, so plenty to enjoy on Saturday as ever in the company of Dave Kellner, Rory Delaghi and Lord John Budden from 1pm. But before all that, my name is Sam Norris and joining me on today's edition of the podcast is Craig Forsyth. Morning, Craig. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well. Thanks, Sam. Looking forward to the Air Gold Cup. It's a big meeting. It isn't any easier than it has been in previous years. Maximum field reduced to 25, I believe, this year, so down two. So, yeah, very much looking forward to it.
Yeah, always a good race. Always difficult to pick the winner, as you say as well. It requires quite a bit of study, does the Gold Cup. We'll start, though, with the news, as we always do on the podcast. Not a great deal of it at the moment, but we will start with a rather confusing decision that sort of baffled the racing world over the last couple of days. Shaker Byard obviously choosing to move his entire string from Luca Kimani's yard and move to Roger Varian. The pair seem to have had a very good relationship over the last couple of decades, Craig. I know you're a big fan of Luca Kimani. I suppose we don't know the reasoning behind it, but were you as surprised as everyone else?
Yeah, very much so, because you know he's got a real bunch of nice middle-distance horses that Luca's brought along gradually over the last few years, and they're starting to reap the rewards of his training skills. You know, I think Postbone's a fine example of that. He's gone on to win the King George this year. He's had a couple of near misses over the last few years in the top races, such as Royal Ascot, what have you. But you can just see he's matured into a top-class middle-distance horse. And I think you have to compliment Luca Kimani on the way he's brought the horse along. And, you know, there's others there. Connecticut is a useful to King Belletti. You know, just typical horses that Luca Kimani brought along steadily, and I thought he had a real nice bunch, and I'm disappointed, to be honest. I mean, obviously, you know, there's the old saying goes, there's no smoke without fire, and we don't know the main reasons behind it, but I haven't seen a lot wrong, certainly, with the way Luca Kimani has been training these horses for the Sheik.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's pure speculation at the moment. Obviously, we don't know the reasoning behind it. And I suppose as an owner, he's well within his right to train his horses with whoever he wants. And it's not that Roger Varian's a bad trainer by any stretch of the imagination, but certainly was a baffling one. Do you think it is something a little bit more sinister, or just simply a change of scenery?
I don't know, to be honest. I just, you know, trying to second guess the reason behind it is difficult. And when you've got horses like Postbone that's won the best part of £750,000 this year, you know, it's a baffling decision. Mm. It really is. And until, you know, I'm sure something at some stage will break with more information. But at the moment, you know, we're very much in the dark, and it's hard to second guess the reason why those horses have moved to Roger Varian's. It's going to leave a massive gulf, isn't it, in the Kimani yard. He's going to lose all his stars, and I don't know what percentage they make up of his overall horses in the yard, but I would imagine it must be round about the 50% mark, if not greater. So it'll be a huge blow for Luca.
Yeah, disappointing news for Luca Kimani, that's for sure. We'll move on then to matters closer at hand. You were in the studio with us, of course, yesterday, Craig. We were reduced to just the three meetings in England and Ireland, what with Yarmouth being called off, three in the afternoon, of course, and we had Chelmsford in the evening. Anything of note, anything worthy of the notebook treatment from yesterday?
Well, Ayr was the meeting where there was unexposed horses with a little bit more to give, and I think starting with the two-year-old race at Novice Stakes, I thought Speed Company was a very good winner. He was stepping up to a mile for the first time. You know, he stayed on very well at Musselburgh over seven, and definitely enjoyed the step up and trip. He'll get further again next year. He was a good winner. Certainly still improving. And Maleficent Queen is a filly, definitely going places. She missed the kick again, was rushed up, but still beat Next Up fairly comfortably. I thought she was just idling a little bit in front. You know, she's going to go up in the weight again, and I think it's only a matter of time before they earn some black type with her. That was about it, to be honest. Good to see Mr. Rock bounce back, ridden a lot more prominently. He's been struggling to lie up with the pace and finishing all too late, but he was in a great position throughout yesterday, sitting in third, and he finished his race off well, beating Mark Johnson's three-year-old. So, yeah, good stuff. The only disappointing thing for me yesterday at Sam was we didn't get enough clues to where the best draw is on the straight track.
Yeah.
Ortac Rock ran an absolute terrific race from a low draw. Stall one it was, in fact, over five furlongs. Rock Canyon was on the stand side, but it was very much inconclusive where you want to be. And when we get round to the Air Gold Cup in a few minutes' time, you know, I won't be writing off horses drawn low because there's plenty of pace drawn across there this year.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. So as yet, you know, there's a couple of big sprints on Friday, which will provide further clues. Unfortunately, this podcast has been recorded before we see those, but still don't know where the best place to be is, which is good, really, because there was a really strong bias towards high-drawn horses last year.
Yeah, that's right. Hopefully we'll find some more clues to that as racing continues Friday and into Saturday as well. And it's Saturday's racing that we'll take a look at. Now, obviously, the Gold Cup is the feature. We will come to that. But before, we've got a couple of races at Newbury to preview. We'll start with Air 145. This is an arc trial over a mile and three furlongs. Six of them down to contest it. A few familiar names here. Craig, what did you like in the race?
Yeah, it's got to be Eagle Top. He's already 10 to 11 favourite with us at Hills here. And the second in the King George by far sets a standard here. He was held up that day and conceded first run to Postponed. And that proved vital in the closing stages because Postponed just got the better of Eagle Top by a nose at the finish of that race. And given the way how it panned out and given the ground that Eagle Top had to make up, I think it was a very, very good performance and a career best in defeat there. And we know he handles soft ground very well. He's bi-pivotal. He's had 56 days to recover from his King George run. He's just going to be very, very difficult to beat here. The Corsican 7-2 chance for David Simcock. You know, I think his best run came at Ascot when he finished fourth to Free Eagle. I was a little bit disappointed by his second at Goodwood last time. The biggest danger could be Sky Hunter. You know, he was a very impressive winner of a Group 3 at the back end here last year in soft ground, and he does have a really high knee action. He will love conditions on Saturday, but unfortunately he has that £5 penalty for winning a Group 2 in Maidan, so that's going to make life difficult for him. But I think he's the most likely horse to follow home Eagle Top here.
Okay, Eagle Top then second in the King George, getting the nod for Craig in that 145 contest. Move on then to the feature of the day from Newbury, the Millreef Stakes. This is a Group 2, of course, over an extended 6-furlong trip for the two-year-olds. Six of them line up for it. Who caught the eye here?
Yeah, I think the Gimcrack is the race to concentrate on here for clues for this year's winner. And in this year's renewal, Ribchester finished second, and Raucous finished third on that occasion. Ribchester, of course, has since been purchased by Godolphin after that second in a Group 2. He is a real big strapping son of Ifraj. He took a while to organise himself at York last time. I think he may need more time to really hit top form for me, Ribchester. And he is, you know, still a maiden despite finishing a very good second in a Group 2. I think Raucous, who stayed on from some way back in this year's Gimcrack, could be the one to beat here. You know, that was another improved performance from his win at Newmarket, and he continues to go the right way. He's still open to a great deal of progress, as is Ribchester. There isn't a lot between them, but I would just side with Raucous here in the Millreef. Want to mention a slightly bigger price is King Robert of Brian Smart. Visually, he was very, very impressive at Chester last time. He really quickened up well and was putting in big strides towards the finish. Be interesting to see how he goes here, stepped up to Group 2 company. You know, it was a much weaker race at Chester, but you had to be visually impressed with the way he went about his business. So interested to see how he goes up in company. But Raucus already got experience in a Group 2, finishing third. I think he could be the one to side with.
Raucus the one for Craig then in that 2:15 contest at Newbury. Now we'll go over to Ayr for the feature meeting of the day, of course, on Saturday. William Hill sponsored card here, and we start with the William Hill Firth of Clyde Stakes. This is a fillies Group 3 over 6 furlongs. 14 of them set to take their chance in this with a decent field size. Who caught the eye here, Craig?
Oh, it got to be with Priceless. You know, there's no getting away from this filly. The impression she made when winning on debut at Haydock. She may have been sent off at 20-1 that day, Sam, but she certainly didn't come home like a 20-1 shot. Sprinting clear of her rivals in great style. Fantastic time on the clock as well to back up what we see with our eyes. And, you know, similar ground conditions at Ayr to what she faced on her debut at Haydock on Saturday. There's just absolutely no getting away from Priceless, the impression she made. Of the horses that have a lot more experience than Clive Cox's two-year-old filly, I think James Bethel's horse might go well here. Cheringita, a horse that really impressed on her debut at Pontefract. I think she found the listed race at Sandown on her next start just all coming just a little bit too quick at that stage of her career, but she learned plenty from that. And at Ripon last time, she just lost out to Whitman by a head on that occasion. And she continues to go the right way. She needs to step up again here to trouble the likes of Priceless. But she is a real interesting contender for James Bethel's yard. And around the 12-1 mark, I think she could go well. But there's absolutely no getting away from Clive Cox's very impressive filly by Exceeding Excel Priceless, who was a wide margin winner on debut.
Priceless then the one for Craig in this 2 o'clock Ayr contest for Clive Cox and Adam Kirby. We'll move on to the feature race of the day then, the William Hill Ayr Gold Cup coming up at 3:45, £112,000 to the winner. 6 furlongs the trip for the 25 of them that are assembled. Where do you start here, Craig?
Yeah, I mean, usually you would try and, you know, figure out where the best place is to be drawn. In previous years, there's been a strong draw bias towards horses drawn in high numbers. I don't think, you know, that may be the case this year. They're saying that the track is set up differently as well, and from the one race that we have seen, it was very much inconclusive. For me, there's pace drawn low here. Hoof It in stall 1, Broom the Groom is in stall 6, and in stall, I think, 16 is Majestic Moon. You know, they're the three horses that should force the early pace. So with plenty of pace coming from 6 and stall 1, you know, I certainly wouldn't be writing off low numbers this year. And Lexington Abbey is a real nice sprinting type who I think has been brought along gradually all season with this race in mind. It was a very impressive winner, 2 starts back at Nottingham. That win was off 89, and basically it was a win that that just qualified him for this race, because he sneaks in the bottom here after finishing second again back at Nottingham last time. I think he is a horse that will certainly benefit from the demands of a big field handicap. An end-to-end, you know, gallop at 6 furlongs is what this horse is crying out for. He's by Sleeping Indian. He handles cutting the ground very well. I just think he's been trained for one race all year, and this is it. He's been brought to a peak for the day. Pat Smullen is booked. Like I said, I certainly wouldn't be put off by the draw in stall 7. And he's had 64 days off the track. So Connections must have been confident that he was going to sneak in off 97 here. Or he would have been out again to get that mark up to make sure he made the cut. But yeah, he would be the pick here, Lexington Abbey, for Kevin Ryan, who of course has won this race twice in the last 4 years.
Okay, Lexington Abbey then right down the bottom there, number 25 on your race card, getting the pick for Craig in the William Hill Ayr Gold Cup. Just spin us through, please, one more time, then your 4 selections for the action on Saturday.
Eagle Top is going to hopefully get us off to a winning start in the 1:45. In the 2:15, the Mole Reef Stakes at Newbury, we're going for Willie Haggis's Raucus. The 2 o'clock at Ayr, very difficult to get away from Priceless. And in the 3:45, the big one, the William Hill Gold Cup, Lexington Abbey for Kevin Ryan.
There we are, the thoughts of Craig Forsyth and ahead of the action on Saturday, and you'll hear it all live from 1 p.m. on William Hill Racing Radio with Dave Kellner, Rory Delaghi and John Budden in the studio. All the races are air, of course. We've got that Newbury card covered as well. There's also Newmarket and Catterick in the afternoon. Action on the Tapita in the evening from Wolverhampton. And don't forget, we've got action over the RSC at Listowel as well. So plenty to enjoy with us here at Racing Radio on Saturday. Thank you very much for joining me on today's podcast, Craig, and best of luck with the selections.
Thank you, Sam.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.